2 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1239. We'll be reading responsively the verses 7 through 10, and then we'll be turning to another verse of Scripture just after reading that. May we stand, please, as is our custom to do. Let's stand for the reading of this passage. Verses 7 through 10, reading responsively, the 10th verse is the text verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Turn now to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, page 1260, 1260 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and we'll read together the 6th verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And let's read it together, please. Ready? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And let's pray. Father, it's so good to know your presence here in this, the place that we call our church home. Thank you for our church. Thank you for faithful preaching. Thank you for the good singing and the songs of God. Thank you for our preacher. But without thee, there's nothing, there's no reason to be here. And so, thou art here, and we're glad, and help that all might be done and said in a way that would please thee, that would bring glory to thee, and that would change the lives and the hearts of those here. We're here to hear thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
The thing I rarely ever do, I usually do not preach a Christmas message on Christmas Sunday, nor a New Year's message on New Year's Sunday, nor a Thanksgiving message on Thanksgiving Sunday. This morning I'm going to bring a Thanksgiving message. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, Thanksgiving for those things I'm not thankful for. I do not think we'll laugh one time during the sermon this morning. I doubt if there'll be anything humorous said. But there'll be some things said that you ought to listen to carefully. And if you will give me your undivided attention this morning, I think we can uncover some blessings that stay covered and hidden. Thanksgiving for those things I'm not thankful for. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I don't know what it was. It may have been that Paul, some folks think it was Paul had epileptic seizures, and those seizures bothered him while he preached. It may have been, I don't know. Some folks think the Apostle Paul had a high fever, some kind of a fever, like malaria or something, and that's what caused him, and that bothered him while he preached. I don't know. Some folks think that Paul's bad eyesight, we know he had bad eyesight, and some folks think that his bad eyesight bothered him immeasurably. I don't know. But I do know there was something about Paul's physical being that caused him to have a hard time preaching. It bothered him while he preached, made folks laugh at him, make fun, and ridicule him. And Paul said to the Lord, I'd like to get rid of it if you don't mind. The Lord said, no, you're going to keep it. Paul said the second time, Lord, I'd prefer now if you'd let me get rid of this physical malady. The Lord said, no, Paul, you're going to keep it. Paul said the third time, I'd like to get rid of it. Please take it from me. The Lord said, no, you need it. If you didn't have it, with all the revelations that you've had, you'd be exalted above measure. And you need to stay humble. You need to stay close to me, so you keep it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is your strength. And in weakness, I'll make you strong. So Paul said, okay, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. I believe you can relate to my message this morning. I believe that 95% of the people in this room will find it rather easy to relate to what I'm going to say. I want to speak this morning on the subject, thank God for those things I'm not thankful for. You know, with the passing of time, you change the things for which you're thankful. There are many things that, while we have them, we find ourselves lacking in gratitude. We don't want them. But as we look back upon them, we're thankful for them. There are things that are not enjoyable in the present that are necessary. And we don't say, thank you, Lord, that my baby died. We don't say that. But as we look back on it and find God's grace and God's strength and God's presence, we can say, thank you, Lord, that my baby died. We don't say, thank you, Lord, that I have a serious illness. We don't say that because nobody's, when they're seriously ill, say, Lord, thank you for this. But afterwards, we say, thank you, Lord, that you gave it to me. So I want to speak this morning. You'll have to listen carefully. I'm going to use a lot of words and a little bit of poetry. And you'll have to listen carefully as I speak on the subject, thanksgiving for those things I'm not thankful for. Heavenly Father, help me while I preach today and help my people to hear what I have to say. Holy Spirit, make us thankful for those things we're not thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thursday morning, we met for an hour of fellowship and a simple service here. We had a time in that service where people could stand and give the greatest blessings they had received in the past year. Someone said, thank God, had a loved one saved the past year. Someone said, thank God, I got engaged. Someone said, thank God for his provisions. And we enjoyed sharing the greatest blessings. However, the greatest blessings of last year were not mentioned. Not at all. You see, we always equate God's goodness with our judgment of goodness. We think we know more what goodness is than God does. And so we always decide what God's blessing is by our opinion of what blessing is. Nobody stood and said Thursday morning, thank God I lost my job. Nobody said that. Somebody said, thank God I got a job. But nobody said, thank God I lost my job. Thank God for unemployment. It drew our family closer together. Nobody said that. You know why? Because, now wake up now. Wake up. You're going to go to sleep. Go outside and sleep. I want to hear what I got to say this morning. Slap yourself. You're awake, sleeping. The fellow next to you is asleep. Slap the fire out of him. But I want you to hear me. Nobody said, thank you for unemployment. Nobody said, I want to thank God for illness. It gave me more time to pray. But this morning, I want to thank God for things that I could not thank Him for at the time. The greatest blessings of life, I mean this, are not recognized as blessings when they're given and received. The things that are God's greatest gifts are not recognized as gifts at the time they're given. As I look back on my life, I find myself thankful for things that I was not thankful for at the time, and I find myself having forgotten most of the things that I was thankful for at the time. At most any given time in a person's life, you say, let's testify, and you stand and say, thank God for good health. But later on, you look back and say, thank God, at one time in my life, I had bad health. I'll guarantee you that the college students, the couples, college couples in this church, who remember most their college days are the ones that had it the toughest while they were here. And I'll guarantee you that as you look back over your days, you'll thank God and relive the unemployment more than you will the employment. And you'll relive the illness more than you'll relive the health. And so this morning, let me, Jack Hiles, look at my life, and let me just thank God, and maybe you can relate to some of the things for which I'm going to thank God this morning. The things that I was for which I was not thankful when they took place. I'm thankful this morning for every trial that threw me at Jesus' feet. I'm thankful for every burden that sent me to the mercy seat. I'm thankful for every tear that drew me to His face, and for every storm that taught me more of grace. I'm thankful this morning for every midnight that made me hold His hand, for every shadow that I now can understand. I'm thankful this morning for my enemies. God taught me how to love, and for defeats that made me look above. If I were to say to you this morning, on Thanksgiving Day, or weekend, 1983, I'd say, thank God for friends. I was interested in the song you sang a while ago. The only thing you said about shadow was the grace that came at the time. Not one thing in the song. Good song. Not criticizing it. Good song. Beautifully sung. But not one thing in the song ever did say, thank you, Lord Father, for tuberculosis. Thank you, God, for heart attacks. Thank you, God, for being on welfare. Nobody does that. But, and nobody says, thank you, God, for those that hate me. And yet, this morning, as I look back over my life, I can honestly say that my enemies probably did me more good than my friends. They threw me at the mercy seat and drew me closer to God. And so I said this morning, thank you, Jesus, for enemies. God taught me how to love, for defeats that made me look above. Thank God for slander that made me look to Thee, for battles that drove me to my knees. I thank Him this morning that I was poor, so I can understand the poor whom I pastor. I'm thankful this morning every time a poor little kid comes on one of our buses. I can say, son, I know how you feel. I thank God this morning every time a little lady who's being a mother and a father both to her child or her children. I thank God this morning. I can say, I know how you feel. Last night in my office came a lovely lady. Not what I would call middle age yet, what I used to call middle age. In her late 30s. She was born in Italy. Her English is broken. She married a United States serviceman. She came to America. He died. She went back to Italy. Stayed 2 years. Has two daughters. They're now college age. She wanted them. She came back to America, and she wanted her daughters to have a place The standards were like her standards. And so when you want standards, first thing you think about, First Baptist Church at Hammond and Hiles Anderson College. And so she brought them here, and now she's unemployed and makes just about, I think, $25 a month more than what her rent is. And yet happier than most of you folks that are worth a lot of money. You know, I hardly ever had anybody come to my office who says, I'm rich. I want to thank God for riches. But I have four people come in and say, thank God for His grace. I'll guarantee you that the words, praise the Lord, come this morning in direct proportion to how little you have and not how much you have. For you see, if you have all you need, you don't need to rely on God. You think you don't. Until, like Mr. Clint Murchison, who's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who's worth not millions, but billions and billions of dollars, who 2 years older than I am, cannot walk and keep his equilibrium this morning, and cannot speak. His pronunciation of words is almost gone. Now there he sits in a wheelchair this morning. I mean, you can't buy the right to speak. You can't buy equilibrium. You can't buy a good ear. You can't buy eyesight. You can't buy the love of a mother. You can't buy a beautiful sunset. You can't buy the peace of God. You can't buy the joy of the Lord. All the millions that Mr. Murchison has cannot buy him one step to walk, not one. There's John Biler this morning. I called John Biler Thanksgiving afternoon, one of the finest men I know. I said, John, I'm thinking about you, loving you, and wanted to call you and say howdy to you. John, how you doing? John said, fine. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm so pleased and thankful to God. He said, for the first time in weeks, months, he said, my family is so proud of me. I stood up by myself. I stood up by myself. Thank God I can stand up. And yet most of you never thank God one time, all during Thanksgiving, for the fact that you can walk and run and jump and play. Thank God this morning that I was poor so I can understand the poor when I preach. I thank Him for my parents divorcing or separating so I can understand those children who are being reared by one parent. I thank God I could look at that little lady last night and I could say, I know how you feel. I know how your daughters feel. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know the burden. I know. And I want to stand this morning and say not only thank God for food, but I want to say thank God for hunger. I want to say not only thank God for health, I want to say thank God for illness. I not only want to say thank God for happy homes, but this morning I can say thank God. Thank. Now, I would not have wanted my mom and dad to separate. I would not have wanted my dad to leave. But I want to say, I'm not going to whine about it. I'm going to say, thank God. I couldn't have understood the broken hearts and broken homes and broken lives and shattered dreams in this room this morning like I do had it not been for God's blessing to me and allowing me to go through what so many of you are going through now. Thank God this morning that I had it tough through college so I can relate to our college students having it tough. When you drive by our lovely home, and I know something about that. When you drive by our lovely home, and you see our nice accommodations, and you go to your little attic apartment, I want to thank God I can say I lived in that little apartment. I want to say thank God. The first sermon I ever preached in a church after I went to college, the first one. I went to the college clothing room, picked out a hand-me-down suit others had given to the college clothing room, and had a patch in the seat of the breeches, only one my size. And I pulled my coat down and held the back of my coat all during the sermon. Why? So the choir couldn't see the patch in the seat of my breeches. I want to thank God for poverty. I want to thank God for hard times and trials and heartaches. I thank God thank him that I had to work 40 hours a week to go to college, while at the same time took a full-time load in college, and at the same time pastored a country church. I thank him for the depression that taught me there's a God. And thank him for bare feet that made me appreciate being shod. Thank him for hunger that makes me savor each meal. For troubles that make me know he's real. You'll not find him real in the sunlight. You'll find him real in the shadows. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. I never eat a meal, and this is the truth, I don't care where I eat it. I never eat a meal without remembering. Without pausing to think. if I'm eating a cheese quarter pounder, thank God, for McDonald's. This country would have died of malnutrition years ago. But anyway, I don't care what it is. If I eat a McDonald's and some French fries or some chicken McNuggets, I stop to realize that for 75 to 90% of the world, that would be the best meal they ever ate. I thank God for weakness that makes me lean on him, for darkness that reveals even a light that's dim. For my dad's leaving home, that brought me closer to mother. For pain that helps me feel the hurts of others. For dad's death that has brought thousands to Christ. For the fire in 1964 at this church that brought a Texas preacher and a Hoosier church close to each other when nothing else could bind us like a pastor and his people ought to be bound. I thank God this morning for voice trouble that causes me to lean on him every time I preach. I thank God this morning for chastening that makes me flee from wrong, that teaches me when I'm weak, I'm strong. I thank God this morning for the old wood stove that makes me thankful for central heat. For being a barefoot boy that makes me aware of the shoes on my feet. I thank God for my critics who help me take stock. I thank God that nearly 22 years ago, Linda, our middle daughter, almost died. I thank God for her near death that made me right with all my critics and all men for 22 years. Thank God for my dad's neglect of me that made me close to my children. I thank him for lonely hotels that make me realize I'm never lonely. I thank God this morning for defeat that made me want to win, for failure that made me try again. I thank God for hand-me-down clothes that make me aware of the new, for often having none that made me appreciate a few. I thank God for the wood stove and the antiquated kerosene lamp, for the outhouse, and for the two-room shack, and for the silver lining that's always beneath the cloud, for the blessed hope that makes a hope chest of a shroud. I thank God this morning for the cloud that makes the sunlight brighter, and for the load that makes its lifting lighter. Oh yes, I thank God today for health, food, home, church, job, protection, salvation, wages, family, friends, peace, joy, happiness, assurance, love, mercy, grace, sunshine, car, house, school, guidance, protection, America, heaven, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, my Heavenly Father, coat, hat, shoes, clothing, warmth, care, a bed, a blanket, a pillow, freedom, liberty,
country, life, redemption, the blessed hope, truth, the Bible, God's people, fellowship, Christian friends, shelter, salary, sunshine, rain, flowers, sunset, sunrise, mountains, lakes, rainbow, God's provisions, God's love, God's mercy, God's patience, God's long-suffering, God's grace. I thank God this morning for children, mothers, dads, husbands, wives, grandparents, loved ones, stove, the refrigerator, the washer, the dryer, the air conditioner, the doctor, the hospital, the medicine, for sight, for hearing, for a sound mind, for sleep, for music, for art, for employment, for my flag, for laughter, for prayer, for meditation, for forgiveness, for justification, for comfort, for luxury, for necessities, the privilege of walking, running, smiling, laughing, for faith, for humor, for wisdom, for knowledge, for helpers, for understanding, and all the other things that we consider good. And most of these things have been mentioned this morning by all of us, or most of us, in the last 3 days.
Thank God also for burdens, for trials, for pain, for sorrow, for tears, for heartbreak, for heartache, for sadness, for illness, for tribulation, for persecution, for enemies, for distresses, for weakness, for disease, for loneliness, for bereavement, for sighing, for crying, for temptation, for battles, criticism, anguish, reproach, clouds, darkness, shadows, misery, discouragement, depression, defeats, darkness, poverty, broken hearts, midnights, and despair. I'm looking this morning at a couple, been members of this church for years. They're right in the light of my sight now, whose precious teenage daughter, one of the finest young ladies we have in this church, all of a sudden mysteriously has taken an eye disease. 75% chance this teenage girl will lose sight in one eye, and if she does that, 50% chance she'll lose sight in the other. No way in the world I can say this morning, thank God for that. There's no way they can stand up this morning and say, thank God, our daughter may be blind. There's no way. But I'll guarantee you, if God be God, the day will come. When looking back on it, they'll say, thank you, Jesus, for everything. And thank you for the burden. And thank you for the heartache. They made me trust Jesus more. They made me know Jesus better. They prepare me for greater service. They teach me patience. But most of all, listen, most of all, they are God's choices for my life. The lady last night looked at me through eyes of poverty, that looked toward a mighty bleak future. But she didn't have any bleakness about her. And she said, I love the Lord. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. And I love Him too. And I'm in His will. And that means whatever comes my way, I thank Him for. I may not thank Him today. Today I'll thank Him for sunshine. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for shadows. Today I'll thank Him for noontime. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for midnight. Today I thank Him for victories. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for defeats. Today I'll thank Him for health. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for illness. Today I thank Him for brightness. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for clouds. Today I'll thank Him for food. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for hunger. Today I'll thank Him for riches. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for poverty.
Today I'll thank Him for goodness. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for trials. Today I'll thank Him for the good things in life. Tomorrow I'll thank Him for the hard times in life. Today I'll thank Him for His abundant blessings as I count blessings. Tomorrow I'll look back and say, thank God!
There's somebody smarter than I who knows what I need. This is not the first time I've told this, but I just thought about it this morning. His name was Dean Smith. He was the Bible teacher and dean of the college where I attended. He was a good old man. A little wacky on his Bible, but he was a good old man. Been teaching that school, I guess, almost a half a century. One morning he came in and told us with tears. He said, I know the message came that Dean Smith would not be there. He said his daughter was in an automobile accident. Tragically injured and near death. His daughter died. Dean was out. By the way, he was in the accident, was injured. Dean was out for quite a while, the class, days and weeks. One day we knew that Dean was coming back to the class. His daughter was buried, and he himself wounded for life. Dean wobbled back in the class that morning. We stood and cheered and gave him a standing ovation. He walked up to the front of the class. We waited to see what his first words would be. And the old man looked out and said, young people, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so I thank Him for tears today. I thank Him that one day I saw my daddy walk out of the home never to return. I thank Him for the day when I heard he was dead. I thank Him for the poverty. I thank Him for the fact that I owned my first pair of shoes when I was 14 years old. I thank Him for tough times. I thank Him my mother had to work hard, 50 cents a day in a hot lunchroom of public school. I thank Him I didn't have clothes to wear like other boys. I thank Him for the burden. I thank Him for my enemies. I thank Him for everybody in America that curses me today. I thank Him for the caustic criticism and the slander. I thank Him for midnights. I thank Him for clouds. I thank Him for shrouds. I thank Him for trials. I thank Him for burden. At least tomorrow I will. Our Heavenly Father.